To invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Hosea this evening. Hosea chapter 6. Tonight we're going to be talking about seeking revival. Most of you know that our theme for the year, you can see it right here on the banner behind me, is for His glory. And as we've been praying for revival, one of the things I've been asking the Lord is that He would be glorified in all that we do in the church. Pray that He'd be glorified, and we asked the Lord to fill up His house. This morning He did that. It was full. And it was so full that we had guests literally sitting on the front pews. Some people would rather stand up than sit on the front pew. And so in that, we give God glory. We're going to have a revival meeting. Brother Dwight's going to come by the grace of God. He'll stand and preach Monday night through Friday night. He's going to preach what God has laid on his heart to preach. He's going to preach from the Word of God with the authority of God. And whatever happens from that, we want God to get glory. You see, if all that happens here at Calvary are things that we can muster up on our own, then God's not working. We want to see things happen that only God can do. And so that's what we want to pray for. When we come to the book of Hosea, just a quick poll. How many of you have ever studied this book before, Hosea? A few of you? Hosea is an interesting book. Hosea is the story of the unfaithfulness of Israel and the faithfulness of God. Hosea is one of the strangest books in the Bible to me. God actually instructs the prophet of God, Hosea, to marry a harlot. And he does this because it would be a picture of Israel. Because God had chosen Israel. God had pulled them out. He had saved them from Egypt. He had set them aside. He had called them out to be a pure people, a kingdom of priests. And he had called them to be separate, to be pure, to be holy people. And they had played the harlot in their spiritual relationship with God. And to give that illustration, God called Hosea to marry a harlot. Now, that's mind-blowing to me. And I want you to consider for a moment the faithfulness of Hosea to do what God called him to do. It's a story of the unconditional love of God. And this is one of the most important things for us to understand as we try to seek revival, because so many people have this idea that God will bless us because of what we do, and God will curse us because of what we do or don't do. And though there is some truth to that, there's blessings found in obedience and those types of things. That's true to a point. But the reality is that God's love for us is not based on our performance. God's love for us is based on His holiness. He doesn't love us because we do or don't do. He loves us because He is love. And so Hosea is a beautiful picture of this reality. I say a beautiful picture. It's kind of a different picture. It is a beautiful picture, but it's kind of a rough picture. It's to be honest, it's kind of an ugly picture. But it's so real. And when you consider what Hosea and everything that he went through with Gomer and everything, it just gives this picture of Israel's relationship with God. And in turn, it gives us a picture of our relationship as a church to the Lord. It shows how that God has done everything for us, how that Christ died for us to save us from our sins. Christ set us aside. He called us out from the world to be a peculiar people. He's called us to be a holy bride, to be a pure bride, to be clean and holy and righteous and to live in righteousness. And yet we turn back to the world. And spiritually, we too, like Israel, play the harlot against the Lord sometimes. And that's kind of rough. That's kind of harsh. But I want you to understand the reality of it tonight. Hosea is kind of a shortened form of the name Joshua, which is the Hebrew equivalent of Jesus. His name means salvation. And so in through all that he went through, that's what this is about. Hosea was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Ephraim, Israel. At the same time, Jeremiah was a prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah. And so as Jeremiah was the weeping prophet to Judah, Hosea was the weeping prophet to the northern kingdom during a time that judgment was coming in the form of captivity. If you were to study the whole book, I'll just give you this real quick if you're taking notes. Basically, it's split into two parts. The first three chapters deal with the prostitution of Gomer. And it's a picture of how she was not faithful to her husband and how he redeemed her and how all that process happened. And then the last part of the book, the last chapters 4 through 14, are about the prostitution of Israel. And so Gomer served as a clear illustration. And then Hosea preaches and shows Israel how they've done the same thing. What I want to focus on is chapter 6. And so Hosea chapter 6, if you're able, let's stand together. If you're nervous about how much I'm going to read tonight, I'm probably just going to read a few verses. But don't get too excited, because that just means I'll preach longer, right? Hosea chapter 6, look at verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Our Heavenly Father, please open our hearts to your word tonight. Help me to preach it exactly as you'd have me to. I pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight to have a heart to return to you, that you would revive us tonight. And Lord, that you would help us by your grace to follow on. Please bless your people, bless your church. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who's never been saved, Lord, in their heart of hearts tonight, they know if they died in their current condition, they would end up in hell forever. I pray you convict their heart tonight. I pray that they would hear and believe the gospel and call on you tonight. Repent of their sin and unbelief and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart and be saved. Please bless the preaching of your word now. Help me, for I'm nothing without you. And help our church, Lord. Please revive our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And please be seated. So in all that Hosea is showing, like I said, chapters 1 through 3 shows the story of Hosea and Gomer, and then he gets into dealing with Israel. In chapter 4 and 5, there's a rebuke of Israel, and in chapter 6, there's a call. And there's a call to Israel to return to the Lord. He says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. And so we get this because God literally physically punished Israel. They were surrounded by enemies and bad things happened. But we understand the spiritual application, because when you're saved and you get away from God into sin, bad things happen. And spiritually, he tears us. Spiritually, he breaks us. And it's the same thing when you look at David's prayer in Psalm 51. He talks about the broken bones. Now, God didn't literally break David's bones, but spiritually he was broken. And if you have been born again and you get away from God and you're living in sin, your insides are broken. It tears you up inside. And that's what he says. He has torn us. He has smitten us. But if we would return to the Lord, he will heal and he will bind us up. Friends, I'm telling you that the invitation is there. God called Israel and said, return to me. Listen, you've been punished. You've been chastised because I love you. And listen, if you're a child of God, he will chastise his own. Listen, if you can sin against the Lord and not be chastised, that's a bad thing for you, because it means you don't belong to him. Let me say it in common terms. God doesn't go around spanking other people's kids. How many of you have ever wanted to spank someone else's kids? Go ahead, be honest. Just to get real, how many of you have actually done it? Oh, my goodness. Now, grandkids don't count. Let's do that one more time. Hold on. Grandkids don't count. How many of you actually spanked somebody else's children? Wow, that's shocking. You know, I honestly, that didn't go well, because I thought everybody would be like, I've wanted to, and then nobody would actually do it. But But God doesn't, you may do that. You may spank other people's kids, but God doesn't do that. Amen. God doesn't do that. I've got, by the way, for the kids in here, I've got permission from almost every parent in the church to bust you guys if I need to. Amen. Amen. See? Validation. Listen, God doesn't do that. God chastises his own. And when you sin against God, it tears you up on the inside. And he says, return. There's a call to return. If we would return, he would heal. If we would return, he would bind us up. In verse 2, he says, after 2 days will he revive. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Listen, the only reason you're away from God is because you've chosen to be away from God. God didn't put you out. You put yourself out. God is available, and God is there, and God wants us to be close to him. He wants us to have a fellowship with him. He wants us to walk with him. He wants us to pray in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. He wants us to live that kind of life, but if we're not, it's not God's fault, it's our fault. Amen. He didn't go anywhere. We're the one that moved. You guys have heard the old story about the old farmer, and he had the old pickup with the bench seat. And his wife's sitting over on the other side, and she's kind of complaining about how honey, you remember when I used to sit in the middle and be close to you when we'd drive and we'd hold hands while we were driving? He said, well, I didn't go anywhere. I'm still sitting in the same place I've been this whole time. She's the one that scooted over, right? Amen. The fellas are like, yeah, amen. I wonder who designed trucks now, because there's no bench seats anymore. There's always a console in between. And your honey can't sit next to you anymore. God didn't go anywhere. We're the ones that moved. And so the invitation, the call, is to return to the Lord. And if we'll return, he'll heal, he'll bind us up, he'll revive us. He'll raise us up. We can live in his sight. There's this restoration that can happen if we would return to the Lord. And let me help you out tonight. If you think you've gone so far away from God that you're so far, he's so far away, it's an amazing thing. You can take 1,000 steps away from God, but it only takes one step to get back to God. All you have to do is turn around. That's it. He's right there. If you would just turn around, he'll cover the distance. He'll take away the sin. He'll make things new. And here's the problem with us. Though we know that, and though we would want to, for one thing, we don't want to let go of our sin. And if we get to a place where we're so sick of being sick and tired, and we're sick of our sin, and we do turn back to God, we get to a place where we won't embrace God's forgiveness. And friends, when God forgives, he forgives all the way. You don't have to hold on to your guilt and shame. You need to understand tonight that those scriptures we read this morning, that Jesus, when he hung on the cross, he took your guilt and he took your shame. You don't have to hold on to it anymore. You can embrace the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. I don't understand why we want to hold on to the guilt when he's taken it all. I just, if you look at these two verses, please, verse 1 and 2. Come, let us return, and he will revive us. We've been talking about revival. We need revival. What is revival? What are we talking about? A revival, well, that's when you have a guest speaker, an evangelist, come and preach several different messages in a row. That's revival. Well, no, that's a revival meeting. What is revival? Well, revival means to come back to life again. Well, we kind of get messed up with that, because when you start breaking it down, you say, well, if you're saved, you can't be dead again, because when you have eternal life, it lasts forever. So what's the concept? Well, we're not reviving our life. It's not as though we were alive and now we're dead and we have to be brought to life again. It's our spirit. It's our passion. It's our fervor for the Lord. It's our right relationship with God. We've got to get our fellowship restored. We've got to get our fire back. We got to get a passion for the things of God. Something was there and now it's gone. How many of you have ever been excited about the things of God? And how many of you have ever lost that zeal? Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. We get so bogged down with the things of this world, and we get so caught up with those things, and we want to say that, well, it's not really that I'm doing anything bad, but listen to me, if it's not a faith, it's sin. And if it's something that keeps me from being passionate about the things of God, then it's sin. If it's something that gets between me and God, it's sin, by definition. And so we need to be revived. We need to return to the Lord. Look at verse 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. There were the rains in the early part of the planting season that helped the crops get going, and then there were the rains at the latter season. Though you would go through a time of drought, there was the latter rains that would bring things back to life and help that final push before the harvest. And God says, he says, I'm prepared, I'm ready. He said, if you'll turn around, I'm ready to come. I'm ready as the morning. Just like we know the sun's going to come up tomorrow, Jesus is ready to come running. He's ready to come. He's ready to bring light and life back into your life if you will return to him, if you would turn, repent, and turn to the Lord. And then notice he says, then what shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord? We can know the healing. We can know the restoration. We can know the revival. We can be raised up again if we'll follow on. We sing the song sometimes. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. But what's he talking about? He's talking about continuing. That's the same thing we see in the New Testament, isn't it? Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. What happened in the early church after the day of Pentecost? Peter preaches an incredible message. The power of the Spirit moves. 3,000 are saved and added to the church, and all these great things are going on. What does the Bible say? It says, then they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in breaking of bread and in prayers. What happened? They continued. They didn't stop. They kept moving forward. They were following on. You know what revival is? It's returning. And it's continuing. Amen. What is it that we'll know? Well, we'll know his healing. We'll know his reviving. We'll know what it is to live in his sight. And we'll know what it's like to live with his presence. He shall come unto us. Some of you have been saved for a little bit, and you know what it's like to live outside of the presence of the Lord. It's an awful thing. Some of you know what it's like to live outside of the presence of the Lord and to go through the motions. Did you know that you can walk in these doors every time we have service? You can be here for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You can be in your place in your pew. You can sing along with the hymns. You can have your Bible out for the preaching. And you can still not be close to the Lord. You can have unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life, and you could be far away from God, and you could be torn on the inside. You could be broken on the inside. You can be so far away from God, and you're still going through the motions. And some of you have been there, and somebody may be there tonight where you know you're not close to the Lord. You know your heart's not where it's supposed to be, but you just kind of keep going. It's not real. It's just a facade. It's just on the outside, and you keep going, and in your heart of hearts, it's kind of like being in some kind of fog. You just kind of go on and you just exist. But there's no life and there's no joy. And I'm trying to tell you tonight that you don't have to live that way. I know what it's like to live that way. I've been in church just about every service that's been had since I was around 12 years old. Most of them before that, but my family got out of church for a little bit when my grandparents were real sick, and they were in and out of the hospital, seemed like for 2 years that went on, but my sister started going back. I guess I was about 11 years old, and she started going to church every Sunday, and me and her and grandma would go, and I've been in church just about every service that's been since that time. Unless I was sick or something else was going on, I've been in church somewhere. And I'm going to tell you that there have been periods of time when I was not right with God and I kept going. I was in my place, doing the thing. Anybody on the outside wouldn't have known any different, but I knew. I know what it's like to live that lie. But I also know what it's like to return to the Lord. Amen. I know what it's like to let go of the sin and fall at the feet of Jesus. I know what it's like to be revived. I know what it's like to be raised up because the Lord, when you fall at His feet, He'll pick you up. I know what it's like to have Him come back into your heart and life like the latter and former rains. I know what it's like to be filled with His Spirit after going through a time of drought. And friend, I just pray tonight that you'd be honest with the Lord and be honest with yourself. If you've gotten away from the Lord, that tonight you'd return. Return. You see, what I'll never understand is why any of us would ever want to live a second outside of the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. What I'll never understand is why any of us would want to go back to our old sinful lifestyle and not be faithful to Christ. What I'll never understand is why we would choose the pleasure of sin for a season rather than to come into the joy of the Lord and be willing to suffer for Christ. Though we may suffer in the world, the joy that He gives in our heart is greater than anything the world could throw at us. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to ask that we get ready for a verse of invitation. And while our musicians are coming, would you stand with me, please? Is your heart right with God tonight? Brother Rick used to always say, can you put your hand on your heart and say, I know that I'm saved? I mean, tonight, do you know beyond any shadow of doubt that if you died right now, you'd spend eternity in heaven with God? If you don't, you can be saved tonight. God loved you so much that Christ died for you. He paid for your sin, and He rose again the third day. If you'll repent of your sin and unbelief, you'll trust in Christ with all your heart, He'll give you everlasting life. He'll take away your sin and give you life. If you've been saved, but you've gotten away from the Lord, and even tonight, it's just going through the motions, your heart is not right with God, I plead with you to humble yourself and come. See, here's the danger. This is the Sunday night crowd. Some of you have been in church Sunday night, every Sunday night since you were born. Your mama brought you before you were born, and you've been here ever since. And you just kind of, you get in the habit. It's just what we do. But it gets to where it's not real. And if that's where you're at tonight, I pray you get your heart right with Jesus. If you'll turn, all you got to do is turn around. And there's healing, and there's forgiveness, and there's revival. Tonight, if the Lord's calling you, would you come right now while we sing?
Page 558.
Number 558.